What's good, everybody? This is the Spawn on Me podcast. We're going to be talking about the Sony showcase and giving our impressions of what might be coming. And I'm going to be talking to you about how Zelda has taken over my life. That and much more on the Spawn on Me podcast. Let's go.
Spawn on Me is the premier podcast spotlighting people of color. Every week, we talk news, what we've been playing, and tell you who's invited to the cookout. Our show is all about talking about gaming through a prism of blackness because we are the culture. Welcome to Bricago, y'all.
Yo, what up, everybody in Bricago? This is the Spawn on Me podcast with Khalif Adams. I hope you're doing well. I'm your host, Khalif Adams. I hope you're having a wonderful rest of your week. We are recording a little bit later in the week. It is Fri-dizzle up in this piece. It is Friday and we are getting it in. You know, we've been moving things around a little bit because the NBA has gotten me in a chokehold and I can't stop watching all the games. I can't stop watching all the things. I can't stop it. It is so many games. All the games have been really, really good and it's just been taking over my life. So we've been moving the recordings around so that, you know, only, you know, me and all of you at home can watch the games and not have to try to figure out how to balance both of them. So it's super, super good to be able to have all of those things together. It has been a pretty good week in terms of all the stuff. I've been, you know, neck deep in the job hunt. Been checking out and looking for a new gig and been running around trying to find out, go hang out with all my networking circles and see if we can, you know, get back on the road to working. And while doing that, been, you know, messing around with the show. If you just watch this on twitch.tv/spawnonme, you got to see our new 10-year logo. You know, we're celebrating our 10th year in the podcasting game, and it's always been really, really cool to, you know, showcase and update things and, you know, refresh some stuff and make things look really, really good. And we also have some really fun stuff that's going to be coming up very, very soon in terms of, you know, more 10th year stuff, some ideas. We have some collabs coming up that we're going to talk about next week. So make sure you're checking out the show on all podcast platforms. We also have been doing something really different. You know, we moved our hosting of our show over to Spotify for Podcasters. And I have to say, I've been really impressed with their suite of stuff. It's been really, really cool of how things have been kind of rolling, how things have been kind of, you know, working on that end. I would say, you know, if you're a fan of the show and you've been listening to us for a long time, you know, we're back on iHeartRadio, we're back on Stitcher. We had some weird snafus where some of that stuff wasn't hitting the feeds properly. So we've gotten some of those fixed. So we should be able to have even more of you listen to the show. But I would say two things. One, if you're on Apple Podcasts, please make sure that you are following the show. They did a weird thing some years ago where instead of having like a subscribe button, they changed it over to a follow button. And what has happened is with us moving feeds a couple of times and with us having shows be a little bit sporadic, sometimes what the app will do is it will remove our show from your auto download list. So please make sure you're following the show if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or any of the other platforms that are out there. And I would say, check us out on Spotify. We're doing some really interesting stuff there. If you're watching it on the app, or the desktop app or the mobile app, you can see this same video that you're watching right now. If you're watching us on Twitch or YouTube, you can watch that inside the app and then get the audio version of the show as well. It's a pretty seamless experience. I've been trying to drive more folks to go check it over on Spotify, because we're going to be doing some fun things there. We're going to be doing some sliver shows is what I like to call those. We'll be doing some stuff that has some other layers to it. We'll also be doing, you know, some other kinds of content. I'm still trying to figure out exactly how all the things work on the platform, so it's going to take a little bit of time to get everything streamlined, but, you know, and we may be going back to Patreon for a bit too to help support the show and, you know, support the family financially. So that'll be a thing that we're thinking about. We might be able to do it on Spotify. We might be able to do it somewhere else. So we're trying to figure out what the bigger mix and bigger plan is going to be for that because, you know, year 10 is big for us. I want us to continue to grow and I want us to figure out good ways to be able to do some awesome things for all of you in Bricago. So lots of cool stuff coming. We also have a really dope 10-year t-shirt design that we're going to be debuting very, very soon. If I can get it all together and up and ready. Very, very cool design from our friends over at Reflect, who've done all of our logo design and all of our graphic design over the years. So getting a chance to work with them on a t-shirt design is very cool. So without further ado, we're going to have a big show today. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about some of the news. And I'm telling you, it's been a wild week. So let's get it in right about now with the 411. So this week on the 411, we have a bunch of stuff that has dropped in terms of news in the gaming sphere this week. I have been so excited for this game in Mortal Kombat 1. Ed Boon has been teasing stuff on the internet for a while now. He's been showing stuff. He's been doing things in his normal cryptic manner. Been showing clocks turning and all this stuff happening. All these things have been in motion. It's been wild to kind of see it. And now we have the understanding and what we know to be their next Mortal Kombat game from NetherRealm Studios. Mortal Kombat 1 is going to be the new game. It is going to be something that is very, very cool. I would show the trailer currently, but it has a lot of blood and guts in it towards the end of the trailer, and I don't want it to get taken down from YouTube or Spotify, so we're not going to show the trailer, but I would say go check it out because it got me really excited for a couple of different reasons. One, you know, as a big fighting game fan, and especially as Mortal Kombat being my main game in terms of a fighting game, you know, getting a chance to see what the new kind of twist on this world is going to wind up being, it's going to be really cool to see where that lands. But what they've done is they've done another retcon of the universe. They've done another multiverse version of the world in which they are flipping all the characters on their head. So they're going to be having a lot of the characters that you're, you know, familiar with come into the story, but they're going to be different now. They're going to have twists to their backstories. They're going to come through and come to the universe in a different way. Liu Kang, you know, at the end of the previous game and its campaign, became a god, and now he is the fire god who is now kind of taking the place of Raiden. Raiden, who was the kind of bigger, kind of overarching god alongside, you know, Shang Tsung, were the ones kind of like molding the universe. They were the ones who were the, you know, pulling the puppets in the puppet strings. And now it's going to be Liu Kang, who supposedly, you know, if you have been playing the game, was going to be more of a kind of benevolent leader in terms of how he was supposed to kind of deal with Earthrealm and Outworld. And we'll see if that's the case, because in the trailer, he definitely came to the conversation not only being the kind of the light, but also being the darkness, in the way that he was like, hey, if you are not rocking with me, we got to take you out. We got to take you out in the most brutal of ways, a very Mortal Kombat way, which was really dope to be able to see them do it. I'm curious about how this new reset's going to wind up being, because they've reset the universe twice already in 10 and 11. So they've reset it and then also kind of splintered it. They've done some things with time in terms of, you know, the way you can kind of see yourself and meet your old self with the time crystals and all that kind of stuff. And now they're going through this new process of, you know, moving all of this along into this new space where everything that we've known to kind of understand the world to be is now going to go back to level one and reset. You know, in the trailer, we saw, you know, the sisters, Melina and Katana, hanging out together. They were no longer kind of, you know, at odds. You know, Scorpion and Sub-Zero were looking to be working together, as opposed to, you know, where we kind of most know them as to be arch enemies. You know, Shang Tsung is still in the game. He's going to be coming in as DLC, you know, paid DLC. But for the most part, there's a lot of different angles for where this story could potentially go. Ed Boon, on a early combat cast earlier, I think today, talked about, again, being really excited about kind of expanding the world and expanding the narrative layers of this game for, again, a game that I think, of all the fighting games on the planet and all the ones that are currently out, had the most thorough and fully fleshed out story-based modes that we've seen in any video game so far. And I think to that extent, that has me really excited because I know that not only they're going to be doing this directly on PS5 and on next gen hardware, but they've had time to play around with their own engine. They have time to play around with some other layers of the ecosystem in terms of seeing where fighting games have gone in the past year and a half. And they're kind of moving. They're doing stuff. And the game is coming out this year in September, which is also just, again, you know, shout out to the WB earnings call who let everything out of the bag, saying that the game is going to be coming out this year. But this game is going to be coming out on September 18th. If nothing moves, nothing gets delayed. I think what we're going to see, and Ed Boon talked about this, was this very compact marketing campaign that they're going to be able to do, having all of this happen, you know, so quickly. You know, things are going to be moving really fast for, you know, when we're going to see the game. I'm thinking and hoping, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about this a little bit later in the show. Maybe we see our first glimpses of this at the Sony showcase. Maybe we definitely see something happening at Summer Games Fest. Summer Games Fest makes the most sense to me, and we talked about this on last week's show, but they have a lot of stuff that they can show now. You have the audience that's ready. You're buttoned up in between, you know, Street Fighter VI, which has been cranking out conversation, and now with their open beta out right now, you know, people are really excited about that game. Tekken has been showing stuff. Tekken 8 has been showing stuff for a while now. Mortal Kombat is now going to have a really big spotlight on it because we want to see technologically how the game is. And they've already hinted at something that's going to be very different in terms of the way that this game is going to come out. In terms of, this is going to be a tag-based game. They have labeled the tag mechanics, or at least the characters that are going to be within this, as cameos. Smart and cute, with a K on it. Which is going to change the way that this game plays fundamentally in a big way. They've had some cameo stuff. They've had some tag stuff in different modes, but it was never like an integral part of the way the game played. And to a certain extent, right now, it is the biggest question mark in terms of what this thing is going to wind up being. So that's going to be really, really interesting to see how that's going to go. So far, I'm reading this from GameSpot. So far, NetherRealm has confirmed the roster will consist of established characters from the early Mortal Kombat games. While Johnny Cage didn't appear in the reveal trailer, NetherRealm did confirm that Jean-Claude Van Damme will be a skin for Johnny Cage, which I am super excited about. Liu Kang, Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Raiden, Kung Lao, Katana, Melina, Shang Tsung, and Johnny Cage will be in that game to start. There's also been rumors of other kinds of characters within the DC Universe and The Boys television show that's on Prime TV. And that also has me really excited to see not only how they're going to potentially incorporate those players into the game. Will they get incorporated into story somehow? I don't know how you bring in some of those characters. Doesn't really make a ton of sense to have them in there. But it will be something that will really be cool to be able to see how they're going to kind of get all those things together and pull them all in at the same time and make this game very, 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 very cool to see how they kind of pull it all together and make something really cool. The cameos thing is the only thing currently that I'm a little bit worried about, because from the way it sounds, some of these characters will not be main characters on the roster. So I don't think that they will be fully playable characters, which has me worried. We'll see more, you know, when we get a chance to check it out. I think the smartest thing they can do is, you know, when you're making these characters for these cameo appearances, you could be potentially building out full movesets for them and full animation stuff and all those things kind of in the mix. Do they do that? I hope they do. Like, if you bring in like a character who hasn't been in the lore for a while, like, you know, they're not going to bring Stryker back because of the police and all the conversations around police, but we'll use Stryker as an example, right? So you bring Stryker back, he's a character that people have been asking for over the years. Or you bring back the robots, right? You bring back the robots again, right? Where you have, you know, Sector and Cyrax and all those other ones, right? Characters that people have been asking for a long time. People have been, please bring these characters back. We really want them. If they come back as just cameos, people are going to be pissed because they've been looking for those characters for a long time. So I wonder if cameos then become a place to introduce new characters, or will cameos be a thing where they're just these offshoots of characters that wouldn't make a full roster because they're either older, they don't really fit the mode of the game, or they're just kind of boring, and you pull them in because they have a lore component or they have some connection to the universe in some way. Lots of stuff to really dig into with Mortal Kombat 1. Again, we don't have a lot of information yet. The collector's edition looks really dope. At $250, that's a lot. But if you're a huge MK fan like I am, you know, if you saw the opening shot, you see my MK rug in the back. But, you know, I would love to see a massive, huge roster in the game. We got the same sentiment from in the chat, Satan's Panties TV, sharing the same thing, saying, I would love an MK roster that's the size of Smash. I would love that. Like, I want to go MK3 Ultimate, you know, throw everybody into the roster, bring everybody back. You have no reason not to. Or what you do is, since you're retconning everything and starting over, you bring in the main ones and then you spread them out across the next games, because now that you've gone back to one, you got to go back to two. So it makes sense to be able to do that. So very excited about Mortal Kombat and what they're going to be bringing to the table. So hyped out of my mind for that in a real big way. Next story, a game that got overshadowed by all the Mortal Kombat news was Lords of the Fallen from CL Games. It is a sequel to their game Lord of the Fallen. It is in the Dragon's Dogma, Elden Ring vein. It is a Souls-like game. One of the coolest things about this game actually is the technology behind it. They are going super in-depth on Unreal Engine and Unreal Engine 5. If you got a chance to see the state of Unreal, you got a chance to see them going into and showcasing some of the technology behind this game. I got a chance to go check out the trailer. You know, all of us did during yesterday's showing, and it was really interesting. I think, you know, I'm wondering if we are at the, I don't know, at a saturation point for Souls-like games. But I feel like there's still some good meat on the bone in a lot of different ways. Like, I think the biggest thing that you can go hard on in a game like this is, you know, graphic design and kind of storytelling. Not graphic design, but like aesthetic. You can go really deep on aesthetic. You can go really deep on lore. You can really, you know, bolster gameplay, which I think this game is going to be really, really good. And if you're doubling down on the technology layer of it, you really have something special here that you can build upon and kind of showcase, you know, the engine that you want to showcase, your expertise as a studio in the space, and you can gross out everybody on the planet. You can make that case for everything in the discussion there in a much bigger and broader way. You know, I think there's a lot of space to really dig into, you know, what this game can be if they nail all those pieces together. And what it looks like so far is like all the visuals and all the pretty bits are going to be on point. Now it's just a matter of, like, does the game feel competent? Does it feel really good? Does it feel like it's not retreading a bunch of stuff that you've seen in other games like Elden Ring or Demon Souls or anything like that? You know, there is a weird layer, though, of the kind of Souls-like aesthetic that, in the kind of mashed up monsters thing that they do, you know, that kind of From Software-ification of enemies, that I wonder if that is going to be a thing that turns people off or kind of makes people lose its, you know, ability to stand out if it looks very similar to stuff that we've kind of played. But I think, you know, in the way that Demon Souls, the remake, ushered in the PlayStation 5 era as this is what we should have an expectation for graphic fidelity, I think Lords of the Fallen will do something like that too. I think this game is going to be something where it showcases itself in such a pretty and beautiful way that there's no way that it can't kind of continue to show itself in such a really awesome and fantastic way. I think it's definitely going to do that, and I'm just really excited for it. It's a weird space because it got totally overshadowed by Mortal Kombat, and I was surprised that they let it launch the same day, because like there was no conversation about this game during the conversation where Mortal Kombat was in that space. So I'm worried about that. Before we go back to, or before we move on to the Sony showcase, which is going to be a much longer conversation, I do want to go back to Mortal Kombat for a second. There was a thing that I saw as a sentiment that was rolling around during the showcasing of the trailer. Again, at the end of that trailer, they show a bunch of fatalities, super gruesome, super gory stuff. And there was an interesting layer of conversation. I'll go back to the screen just to make sure. It was an interesting layer of conversation around that was about, why does Mortal Kombat have to continue to be so gruesome and gory and all this kind of stuff? And I get it, right? We live in a space where the real world now is is continue to be more gruesome and gory in ways that we don't want and all those kinds of things. I'm going to be a weirdo and go out on a limb and say, I know I'm in the minority here when it comes to this layer of the conversation. So I know I'm putting myself out there on a limb, not a limb, but like I'm planting my freak flag in the way that everybody else gets to plant their freak flag. And we talked about this, myself and Miles Dampier over Windows Central. We talked about this on one of his podcasts about like, why am I excited about all the technology layers that we wind up getting to see? And I think as a huge, huge, huge horror fan, I like the goriest of gory stuff. I like the gross stuff that you watch super, super late at night. I'm the person who's like, give me the Red Band trailer for everything. I want there to be blood and guts and gore all over the place. Mortal Kombat 1 has an ability, and I don't think they will do this, because you have to worry about the ESRB and you have to worry about your ratings, and your ratings directly affect where you can sell your game in a lot of different ways. One day, I would love to see NetherRealm go even harder on the gore. I know that's going to turn people off. I know that's going to make people not want to see it. People were actually saying something wild the other day that was like, why are they forcing this gore into Mortal Kombat? And I'm looking at that conversation like, one, with Mortal Kombat set the trend for what gore could be in a game. Like, they went to Congress in the early 90s because of the precedent that they sent, that they set by putting this game in out in the way it was. In a way that was way less gory than what we see right now. Like, you know, talking about the boys in that show and what you can see on TV. Again, there are people who absolutely don't like that stuff, and there's people like me who love it. I want Mortal Kombat folks to go wild. I want them to go into whatever that gross, freaky bag is that they have of ideas. And I want them to put it all out on the table one day. I know you have to save some of the goodies for different games, but I have been lobbying for a long period of time of like, with the technology growth that we have in some of the engines that we're seeing, and we're getting all this really detailed stuff about bodies and all those things and deformation, you can really do something interesting with body horror in a game like Mortal Kombat now. Their animators are great. There's been, a lot of conversations about like, what does that mean for the people who work on those games in that way? Yes, there's a layer of that conversation, but there's also a layer of that conversation where those folks have signed up for this work at this point. Like, they know what you're going to get and what you have to work on and the source material to make that stuff feel and look interesting. So I'm less worried about those folks because those folks, to a certain extent, have signed up and they understood the job. But what I do want to talk about is I want to interview the folks who are working on that stuff. Like, I want to know where the barriers are. And again, I think most of that is determined from the ESRB. Because once you get a game that's rated AO, you can't sell it, right? But I would love to go into the process with a developer on that team. Talk to Ed Boone. I'm dying to get Ed Boone on the show. We've met each other a couple times in real life. Ed, I'd love to have you on the show. But like, dig into how and what are the limitations, or what are the new limitations that aren't there from a grossness, goriness perspective, and how that applies to Mortal Kombat and how that applies to games like this. I love stuff like that. I like the fact that it's over the top. I like the fact that it's unreasonable. I love the fact that it's blood, guts, and gore all over the place. And all the folks who are like complaining about that stuff, I understand it, but also like, let people enjoy things if they like weird, crazy stuff, wild stuff. Everyone has a thing that they dig. Everyone has a bunch of stuff that they find interesting. I love blood, guts, and gore. I'm a big horror fan. Give me more of the goodies. So very, very excited about that. Now we'll move on to the big story of today, which is the PlayStation Showcase is coming up May 24th, next week, 1 p.m. PST, 9 p.m. BST. It is going to be a really, really interesting showcase. I am way excited for this thing. I am hyped for this in a way that I have not been hyped for a showcase in a while. I'm not going to go through all the minutia of like what I think is going to be there. I think there's going to be a couple of things that are going to be interesting there. I think we'll see some throwback stuff. We'll see some new stuff. I think we'll see conversations about like, you know, what are some of the games in the future? But here are the things that I really am excited for, and I know we're probably going to see. Probably going to see Spider-Man 2. That's a pretty easy version of something to get shown. There's been rumors again of Metal Gear Solid 3 as a remake coming onto the show. If you listened to last week's show, you heard my thoughts about that. I don't really care about that game. Not now. Like, it'll have to wow me in terms of the way it looks for me to really care about what that game is supposed to be. So again, if it was MSG4, then I'd be hyped. But 3, it will look really good. We'll all sing the Snake Eater song together. We'll all jump into the grass and touch it. So it'll be great. But there's a couple of things that I am just like really excited for, and I'm hoping that we get a chance to see. One, with, and I'm going to compare and contrast. I think the conversation around the Xbox showcase, we have some known quantities there. And there is some stuff that we have to see from them to showcase that they need to hit, and they need to hit those things well. PlayStation is in a really cool spot because they now get to do a couple of things. Their fan base is ready. Their fan base has been really excited about things. They've been trickling out small pieces of things here and there about certain games. You know, they just put out the Leonardo controller and showing what that looks like again. PlayStation VR 2 is going to be a part of that conversation as well. There's a lot of things in the mix about what is going to be showcased there. And I think one of the big things that I think that they have to show, something they got to kind of put out there, they got to make it be a thing out in the world, is I feel like they got to show The Last of Us multiplayer. Last of Us multiplayer is going to be a potentially huge thing. I think they got to show it. I think it has to be in the mix somehow. Like, they got to do that in some way. The other thing that I think will be potentially and hopefully will be potentially shown is the Wolverine update. I think we may get an update about Wolverine during the show. I know it's super far out. I know it's really far out. But Insomniac is going to have that showcase on in chokehold. They're going to showcase Spider-Man 2. It would be really cool to get an update on what that game is going to wind up being in terms of Wolverine. Like, who would not be really excited about seeing that game again in a real way? I think that there's a potential there for that to be something big for the PlayStation showcase. I think that's going to be a potential like really big get for them to kind of showcase stuff. There's also the Kari Barlog game that people have been talking about. He's been talking about, or has been rumored to be working on, a sci-fi game. That could be really dope if we get our first glance at that stuff. Again, like, there's a lot there. Bloodborne, okay. I guess, like, give me a new version of it being up-res. Like, okay, that's okay. I think that's going to be all right. You know, will we see more titles that are going to be live service titles? Probably. I think that's going to be in the mix. You know, do we see, again, stuff from Insomniac? Do we see stuff from Sony Santa Monica? Is there going to be new God of War Ragnarok DLC? Is there going to be, you know, Last of Us 2 DLC or something else in that respect? Like, besides the multiplayer stuff, like, what other things are going to be dropping really soon? And I think they're going to have a ton of third-party support, which I think is going to be a really big thing for them. But my want from this show is they have a huge roster of first-party titles and first-party studios. You know, Devotion, I think it's Devotion, had a ton of layoffs, but we haven't seen anything about their game. We haven't seen anything about Haven in a long period of time. There's a bunch of studios that, you know, both Xbox and Sony are still having this thing about Deviation Games. Thank you. It was Deviation Games. Thank you. Where they need to kind of start to showcase and show what is coming really, really soon. I think we're in year 2.5, almost 3 of the PlayStation 5 being out in the world. And now it's like, we got to start showing some stuff. I think Jim Ryan has some stuff in his bag. I think Herman Hulse has some stuff in his bag. And I think we're hopefully going to get a ton of new conversations. The thing that's also going to have to be rolled into that is, like, besides things being new, we're going to have some dates on some of this stuff. Like, I think the conversation of late has changed a lot, where I think even the way that you are marketing some of this stuff has changed a lot in the past 3 years, where because of how long the development cycle is and because things have been getting pushed back often and things have been getting delayed, now players are just like, it's nice that you've told me when and what this game looks like. Like, what this game looks like, I need to know when it's actually going to drop, or at least have a window to understand, because 2023 is just going to be a really full year of games. We'll be talking a little bit about Zelda after the break, but, like, these games are also not small. There's not a lot of tidbit games anymore. These games are coming out with a lot of scale. They're going to be pretty big. They're going to have a lot of stuff to show. And right now, there's just a lot of show and not a lot of tell. So we're going to get a lot of tell next week on this PlayStation Showcase. I think they've got to show more stuff that's going to wow us. I need to see things that I've never seen before. I want to see gameplay and visuals of, like, holy crap, this is what you can do on a console? Wow, this is wild what we're going to be able to kind of get a chance to go play at some point. So I think, you know, I think we're going to see, you know, potentially some stuff that we already knew was going to be in the hopper. But I think if they're going to really have some success during this showcase, it's got to be new stuff. It's got to be stuff that we haven't seen before. It's got to be things that are going to get people into a space to think about not only the current state of PlayStation, but where is the future of PlayStation going? And I think if they can nail some of that and lay out a really clear plan and clear delineation of where things are moving and how things are going to go, then we're going to have a really, really cool showcase that's going to be kind of showcasing exactly what's happening. It's supposed to be more than an hour, which is something that's very different as well. Usually shows are around 40 minutes. That tells me they have a lot of stuff to show. And that tells me that we're probably going to get some deeper dives into some of the games that they're going to show on the presentation for this episode of what they're going to do for the showcase. I'm amazingly excited for this. I've been waiting for them to get back. This feels like 2016 vibes, where you were in the Shrine Auditorium watching PlayStation do their thing when, you know, I will say to this day, I think one of the most, you know, impressive showings of a showcase was a couple E3s ago when they did the God of War reveal and had the full orchestra there and all that kind of stuff. It was breathtaking stuff to be able to see how they pulled all that together and made you feel like, you know, as a Sony person or a person who is really in that camp, you were getting things that no one else on the planet was going to get. And that was feeling really, really cool. So lots of stuff coming down the pipeline for Sony. I'm debating on if I'm going to, you know, live stream it. I'll probably live stream it and do a reaction during the show. I think that's a fun thing to do. I haven't done one of those in a very long time. And then we'll kind of figure out a way to wrap some of that stuff up into the next week's episode, because we have a lot of stuff to talk about. But real excited for what they're going to show and get into the space. I'm very excited. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get some water. I'm going to go to the bathroom, do all that kind of stuff. We'll be back in about 4 minutes. Three or four minutes. Hang out in the chat if you're watching on twitch.tv/spawnonme. If you're listening in podcast land, here's a wonderful ad and all that good stuff. And we'll be right back after this. We are back at the Spawnonme podcast here on twitch.tv/spawnonme and podcast services all around the world. Friend of the show and in our chat while we do our show live, Arctic was like, "You took a break to tweet. It's not my fault. I took a break. It's not my fault. It's not my fault." Anyway, I've been playing a bunch of stuff and it's been really, really good. I think we again are in such a fantastic year of games. The game that is going to be taking up a ton of my life over the next couple of years is going to be Diablo. Diablo had their server smash the other day, and I have to say, it was something that I didn't expect. Like, I wasn't a big Diablo fan. I wasn't one of those folks who was like, "Oh my God, Diablo is going to be the best thing on the planet." But I have to say, having spent some time with the previous beta and now the server smash, I'm fully invested. I'm really excited about getting back into this game. Like, I was thinking a lot about it when I played it. And now understanding exactly what I want that game to be and how close it's tying to some of that excitement and some of the things that I'm finding within that game, of the intricacies about combat and, you know, the synergies between players and characters and classes and all those kinds of things. Like, I'm really fully invested within that game and in that world now. I'm really just like excited about the prospect of jumping back into that world and playing more of it. You know, I'm rolling a barbarian. It was funny because when I first played it, I was like, "I gotta go sorcerer because I like sorcery, I like magic, I like all that kind of stuff. I like long ranged characters in that space, kind of play on the outside and mess with people and do that stuff." I started playing barbarian and started smacking people up. It was the best thing on the planet. It was so good. It was so awesome to kind of just go into a mob of monsters and just eat everyone's faces. It was so good to be able to crowd control and to tank stuff for my team and to like have some really cool looking gear. Wow, I like that game a lot. Diablo is going to be a really big thing. Diablo 4 is going to be a huge game. I think they're going to sell a crap ton of units on this thing. I think it is going to be a thing that I'm playing a ton of. I'm going to be digging into this world and going into the lore aspects of it and really looking to play with a lot of people and find some time to get in and like learn about all the systems that are at play here. I'm just over the moon excited about this game and wanting to get a chance to play more. I'm hoping to get a chance to bring the devs on and talk to them about it. I'm really curious to hear about the classes that all of you are playing in the community. You know, one of the cool things that we can do on Spotify also is we can have polls in the app. When you're listening to the show, you can answer a poll. You can even ask me a question. You can send in questions and we can play them on the show. Is the thing that we want to do. So please, 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 again, use the Spotify app if you're listening to the show. And I also get to ask a question for the episode. So we'll be doing some good, you know, asking of all of you to, you know, share questions and all that kind of stuff to kind of have us throw into the app so that you can, you know, get some more engagement around the show in that way. The Paragon boards are really in-depth. I did see a couple of different videos about that. I also had an interview, or at least sat in on a Q&A with the Diablo team early the week before, actually. And they talked a lot about the end game stuff, about how they're going to be able to kind of move your Paragon boards around and how this can open up your skill trees and give you even more ways to grow your character in the path that you want. So Paragon boards are very, very important to what this game is going to wind up being for the length of how long you're going to be playing this game. The breadth and depth of it is going to be really cool to dig into more of that. So I'm just, again, super hyped about what this game is going to be and how much it's going to kind of take up so much of my time. I'm really hoping it plays well on Steam Deck. I really want that to play really well. I want that ROG Ally device because it's Windows and I don't have to think about trying to get everything on the other stuff. That'll be really cool. I want to play that. So that's going to be good. I think there's a big space for Diablo on a mobile device. And I'm, oh boy. If I have that thing on a Steam Deck, oh, it's going to be over. It's going to be really, really cool. The other game that is taking over my life, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. This is a masterpiece. There's nothing else that I can say besides every time that I jump into Zelda, I am having fun. Every time that I'm jumping into Zelda, I am tinkering. I am thinking about where I want to go. I'm exploring. I'm looking for new ways to think about combat. Thinking about new ways to traverse the world. Thinking about new items I'm going to get. Thinking about new clothes I'm going to get. New powers I'm going to get. And Nintendo just nailed this. Like, games this big don't come around that often. But it really does talk to the elegance that Nintendo can bring to a title. It talks about the, you know, baked-in audience that is going to be there. I think they had, like, ridiculous amounts of sales already in the first 3 days. I think it was like, you know, 10 million a year. It was probably even more than that, actually. It was a much bigger number than that. And it's just, again, something that just brings together 10 million worldwide already. Like, what? In 3 days? 10 million worldwide sales in 3 days. Like, that doesn't happen unless you're game is that good and you've had that kind of fan base that they are really connecting to your world, and these iconic characters that we've seen over God knows a decade and some change at this point, you know, more than that, you know. So I'm just watching everything happen in real time. The thing that's really cool about this game as well is that I haven't seen a zeitgeist around a game like this in a long time. I think the last time I've seen everyone play a thing was Elden Ring, and everyone was playing and finding strategies and learning things on the fly and being surprised by things and talking about strategies and what they did to, you know, to make something look cool or feel good and all that kind of stuff. Zelda's even doing that, but in a much bigger way, because you have all of these mechanics that lend to showcasing your ingenuity and showcasing, you know, fun and showcasing, you know, how did you solve this shrine? Oh, I solved it this way. Oh, I totally didn't even think about doing that. Holy crap, where did you find that item? Where'd you do this? Like, it just really makes you excited to play video games again. And I think Zelda is doing something that is just very, very special. You don't see these kinds of things happen in the gaming space where there isn't, like, full consensus. I've heard no one in any of the circles that I think are important or any of the people who I've seen talk about this game who have been playing it have had complaints about any of it. I've seen no people complain about stuff. You know, for them to get this kind of aesthetic and graphic design into a game and the aesthetics of it on a machine that is a handheld is fantastic. It runs fairly well. You know, again, everyone's going to complain about the fact that it doesn't have 60 frames per second, but, like, it's running pretty steadily at 30. It looks really great on my TV. I play my Switch docked all the time. I really don't play it undocked, but I think it's, again, doing everything that I had an expectation for this to do. And I'm still fairly early on and just loving every single moment of this game. And it's so good. So I don't have to tell you to go buy Zelda. Go cop Zelda. You know what the deal is with Zelda. Everyone knows the deal is Zelda. last game that I've been playing for this episode, episode 469 of the Spawn on Me podcast, is something that I didn't expect. It is a game I was super excited for, but I didn't expect it to be this good. Is Humanity from the folks from Enhanced, so the folks who have made Rez and all the other games they make into the world. Humanity is a very strange game, and the reason why I like it is, one, because it's a very strange game, two, it reminds me of the PS3 era where Sony wasn't afraid to do really weird, funky games. They weren't afraid to have just unreasonably cool, weird decision-making games on their platform. This is a puzzler where you are using lemmings, basically, that look like human beings to traverse certain parts of a maze. So it feels like Echochrome. It feels like Lemmings. It feels like, you know, all of those games put together. And it's, I don't know, as a person who has just most recently had a lot more time on my hands due to my unemployment, you do a lot of thinking about just the world. You do a lot of thinking about yourself. You do a lot of thinking about your place in the world. And a game like this doesn't really, it has a story, but it's a wonky story. It's a very Enhanced kind of story. But I love every moment of it. I think, you know, as a person who is thinking about the way that we all come together to get things done and how to be a conduit for some of that stuff, you know, you as a small dog who is leading people to kind of get to what they think is the light in the sky, whatever analog you want to attach that to. It's kind of cool to see games like this still exist. It's kind of cool to see big budget platforms like Sony continue to find ways to have games like this on the biggest platform that they have. I've not played it in VR yet. I'm dying to go do that. I'm going to probably do that this weekend. As a game that is a nice palate cleanser, that has one of the dopest soundtracks on the planet. If you were listening to the show live on twitch.tv/spawnemy, we were playing it today. Banger of a soundtrack. It's so good. It is such a well-made product. And I really just love stuff like this. I want to see more games like this. You know, I did that GQ 100 games list, and one of the games that I've submitted was a game called 4AM. That was on PS3. That game was never going to be big. It was way ahead of its time. It was way too big to succeed. Way too weird to succeed. But what it did was open up the space to be able to have wacky titles be in there. Not open the space, but it gave another version of, you can do something weird and it still be cool. And you can do something weird and have an audience be there, even if it's small, and even if that audience is small, it still has value. So I think, you know, I want everyone to play this game. I think it's on PS Plus, I believe, so I think you can cop it on PS Plus. Check it out. I think it's worth your time. I think it's worth your energy. I think it's worth your brain space. I love stuff like this. I hope you do too. And I think it's a really fun title to kind of mess around with in the middle of all these bigger titles that are happening. So I would say, please go check that stuff out. It's really dope. It's really fantastic. Everybody, that has been our show. Thank you so much for coming through for episode 469 of the Spawn on Me podcast. Again, really hyped for the PlayStation Showcase next week. I think it's going to have a lot of great new and hopefully coming soon titles. I hope they were going to get some stuff that we had seen before and some really new stuff that we haven't seen before. Next week, we're going to be doing a live stream of the showcase, so make sure you're hanging out with us. We'll be doing a watch along of that. And we're going to have some announcements next week as well. So please stick around and stay tuned for that. If you're watching us live, get out of here. Go watch the NBA playoffs. The Eastern Conference Finals are about to start up in a couple of minutes. So get yourself a frosty beverage and go watch that. And again, please make sure you're checking us out on Spotify. We are going to be doing some more work over there, doing some cool stuff on that platform. This will be up on YouTube very, very soon. And we're going to showcase the logo for, we'll put up the t-shirt design next week. Next week, we're going to do that with the rest of our announcements next week. So You have something to look forward to while we talk about all the good things that are happening on the Shoney Showcase. So, until next week, much love to you. If you listen to us on podcast platforms, check us out next week. Leave us a 5-star review. I think we're up to almost 230-something reviews. Please leave us a 5-star review. Anything that's not 5 stars is a lie. And then always please make sure you're checking us out on twitch.tv/spawnonme. Please give us some love here. Please subscribe to us here. You know, send us some love and send us some money. That would be great. It helps us grow, helps us move, and helps us get more cool things done, like t-shirt designs and all those kinds of things. So until next week, we're going to get up out of here. Much love to you all. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Have a dope and safe weekend. And until then, we'll see you. Much love, and we are out. Peace.